We've had to rely on media reports, budget documentation, terms of reference for contractors, a lot of social media, and then you have to go through the painstaking process of confirming each and every one of these projects. So this map now covers 218 projects across 8 Pacific Island countries plus Timor-Leste to a total amount of $1.78 billion.
You say China now gives more aid to Fiji than Australia does, and it is about to supplant Australia as the biggest aid donor in Samoa and Tonga. What are you seeing exactly?
Now, we've got to be clear that it's not an exact apples-to-apples comparison here. Australia gives its development assistance to the Pacific through grants assistance every year in a variety of different projects. China's assistance is focused on a lot of large concessional loan infrastructure projects. So whilst the numbers are pretty staggering, and then the trend we've seen in the region of Chinese engagement continuing over the last decade, it does look like China is overtaking Australia, but it is a narrower form of engagement than the way Australia is engaging.
You've also identified a new push by China with aid to Papua New Guinea. What are you seeing there?
Well, Papua New Guinea, in terms of population, is just the giant of the region, and so it is an area that has the absorptive capacity to take on these large infrastructure projects. A lot of the smaller island countries, because these are concessional loans, are really at their limits of how much debt they can take on board. Tonga, Samoa, Vanuatu are already facing varying degrees of debt distress that are prohibiting them from taking on such large projects. So that leaves only a few countries where you can really see engagement in the hundreds of millions of dollars from concessional loans.
Going further afield, you say that China has now overhauled New Zealand and Japan and is on the verge of overhauling the United States in terms of the total aid given since 2006. Is this whole picture a concern?
I don't think that we should panic. As I said, that it is a different kind of engagement than the conventional donors in the region. It is certainly a large amount of money, but ultimately this is a good thing for the Pacific. It democratizes further their access to international finance, and it allows them to engage with new partners. There's still great need for finance in the region, and you see that other donors are also ramping up as the ADBs recently just increased their commitment to the region as well. But it should give Australia and conventional donors a moment of pause. We should really be reflecting on how much longer can we maintain that position of being the partner of choice in the region when China doesn't have the same stringent requirements of safeguards and quality and reporting that we might demand. And also their objectives are a lot more opaque to begin with. So I think it does mean that Australia is going to need to focus a bit harder on better communicating its long-term objectives in the region. Malcolm Turnbull being at the Pacific Islands Forum this week is a perfect platform for that kind of discussion to take place.
Relationships are about more than dollars. We've seen commentators of the stature of former Lowy Institute director Michael Wesley say that Australia's lost its way in the Pacific. What should Australia be looking at as it prepares more broadly for its first foreign policy white paper since 2003?
Yeah, a lot of commentators in the Pacific have seen, I guess, a bit of a swaying in terms of our objectives and direction that we're going in the Pacific. It seems like in recent years there's been a lot more a lot of our engagement has been transactional in nature. I mean, Manus Island in Papua New Guinea, offshore detention centre in Nauru, and then throughout the rest of the region as well. And then there has not been an overarching strategy with regards to our normalisation of relations with Fiji. And back in the days of AusAid, when aid was the dominant factor in our engagement with the region, there was a lot of strategy and discussion about what we want to see our engagement with the Pacific look like decades down the road. We don't really have that anymore, and we need to really do better at communicating what our objectives are.
So should these new figures be a bit of a wake-up call to Prime Minister Turnbull and Foreign Minister Julie Bishop?
Well, as I said, I don't want to go overboard in what this engagement actually means, but it really should stop to give the Australian government pause and to think about how we can be doing better to communicate our objectives.